aviation, light aircraft, single engine only in this part of the country for anything except a hobby?
I don't really think it's going to be utilized to a great extent for its hauling, except in the bigger aircraft. But I think you will see a lot. I believe you'll see it in the businessman who has an appointment. Maybe you might live in Washington, you might have an appointment in Atlanta, run down there, you know, for a couple of hours to close some sort of deal. You know,
right.
I think you might see it in the forest business because, as you know, the general aviation is getting some more sophisticated all the time. And they're getting more speed per horsepower now than ever before. Used to be, if you had a 65 horsepower engine, you might get 45 miles an hour. Now if you got a 200 horsepower engine, you can get 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know. So, and the fuel, and they're getting cleaner, and they're working out where you can get a lot better consumption. As you know, some of them now get better gas mileage and. The automobiles, you know.
And they're expensive, too, to buy.
That's right. Well, that's true.
For people's own knowledge, how much would a four-seat aircraft cost? One that would go, say, 160 miles an hour, a new airplane, how much would that cost us?
Well, you can buy it just like buying an automobile. You can buy it stripped, and it wouldn't be very expensive. But if you load it down with all this fancy gear, then you can have more into the gear than you have in the airplane, you know.
All right, how much?
Well, I think a good four-place airplane to do 160, run you probably around 25, 26,000.
Yeah.
But now you can put $20,000 worth of radio gear in there and not really have a good package then, see?
Right.
I don't know. Industry is buying these things, and they can, of course, write them off as a tax and get depreciation and also, in my own experience, I've bought and sold these things, and I've always had been able to buy one, and it has. And the last one I bought has appreciated rather than depreciated. It's gone up considerably.
Yeah.
I bought it for a certain fee about 2 and a half years ago, and right now I know a couple of guys. All I can do is call them; they'll come get it, and I can make $4,000 or $5,000.
Right.
But I've used it 2 or 3 years. But this is not always true in all instances. Some of you know. You can depreciate on or immediately lose, but I think we have a good future for it in the business line. Now, whether it would work out as far as cargo, I don't know about that.
All right, well, thanks for your call.
Okay, glad to help you out.
Right, take it easy.
All right,
so long. We've got another call here, too. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I would like to ask Mr. Roberts why flying is so important and so necessary for daily existence in Alaska, it's not made safer. Why isn't there an effort being made to make it really safe?
Here he is.
Well, flying is relatively safe. However, there are times when conditions just don't present themselves to be safe. We have such a vast country with so many different types of terrain, and the weather doesn't always work out to be suitable. Navigation in Alaska is different than it is in the States because of the rough terrain, which makes it a hazardous flying condition, and these are things that we have no control over. They can't make them any safer in that respect. For instance, there's a clear air turbulence that sometimes will hit an airplane in these mountainous regions, and this turbulence will pop rivets in the wings, and sometimes it'll even tear an airplane apart. These are things that we have no control over. As far as the navigational facilities, they are just about as good as anywhere else, and commercial air flying is different than the bush pilot type of flying. They fly at altitudes and are on controlled flight plans, and they have a direct route, and they have large airports in which to bring their equipment in on. So all of these things are a variety which we can't control, and as far as bush flying goes. Now, if a person just wants to fly once in a while, he can pick his time, but it's a necessity for people to get supplies, and it's important for them to get it at the time that they need it. So a bush pilot flies all the time.
It seems then that the uniqueness of Alaska has made it necessary to fly in conditions that are unique to that area. It's not that people are, it's just that things are different, not that it's any less safe.
Well, that's right, but you know, you're subjected more to these conditions when you do it all the time. Your exposure rate is much higher when you fly every day under all conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And because the population in Alaska is has so many aircraft, many of them aren't too good pilots either. You know, they're not trained for flying in all conditions, and they get themselves in trouble, and they break a lot of airplanes. They'll land on sandbars and places they've got no business landing, and run across a log and break their airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And this type of thing, of course, bush flying is still controlled a little more than that. We landed on roads and places where there weren't any airstrips, but very seldom did we just land on sandbars or places that for the fun of it, you know.
It's kind of like a really exciting year and a half. I'm glad you shared it with us.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go. Okay. Well, it's 10 before 10 o'clock now. I thank you, too, for coming down. Appreciate it.
All right, Russ.
And we'll have to talk about this some more, maybe talk about more of the Eskimo and Indian population up there one of these days, and get into some of the more traditional type things.
That's an interesting subject,
yeah.
Folklore and the habits, and it's always good to find out about these people, too.
All right, we'll take some calls and talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about, Alaska or your mother-in-law, right after we listen to this little record.
Oh,
Loggins and Messina. That's Groen. That's their latest one, and I like that a lot. Because I like Loggins and Messina, and I like the way they sing and play guitars. It's 7 before 10 o'clock here on the airline program. I'm Russ Roberts. I want to thank my dad for coming down. Had to twist his arm to get him to come down finally and talk to us about his adventures. And we'd like to talk to you now about anything you'd like to talk about. 672-1000, area code 703. I'm Russ Roberts, and here are some baseball and hockey playoff scores for you. How about that? In the NBA, which is basketball, final score Kansas City, Omaha 102, Chicago 95. In the National Hockey League, final score Buffalo 4, Chicago 1. In the first period, Philadelphia 2, Toronto nothing. And a final score in the WHA, which is the World Hockey Association, Minnesota 8, New England 3. You know, an interesting thing about hockey, which I don't know, a lot of people probably don't know, because until I went to a hockey game, I didn't know it. They only had 3 periods in hockey. Did you know that? Did you know that they only have 3 periods in hockey? I didn't know that. And I bet you there's at least 5 other people out there that don't know that. It's worth mentioning. And they have 2 timeouts. One after the first period, one after the second period, and then the game's over and then you go home. Excuse me. Now, the reason I mention this as being important is because I went to a hockey game in Richmond and was watching the Richmond Robins. And I got through the first period and I said, wow, this is a long period. Like, it's 20 minutes long. And that's playing time, right? Is that how long it is? Half hour. 20 minutes. 20 minutes. So I'm sitting there for this 20 minutes saying, good grief. 15 minutes went past. And 20 minutes went past. First period's over. I said, well, halftime's here. Right? Halftime. They started playing again, and I figured, well, after this period, they're going to go home. They didn't. They started playing again, and I was appalled. I said, the score at the end of the second period was 1-0. I said, well, we've won. And they started playing again. I was shocked. Anyway, here's the latest in Major League Baseball. Now, there's a sport that we all know. They got 9 innings in that sport, and they knock a little ball around and try to catch it. First game of a doubleheader. New York 6, Detroit nothing. Second game of that doubleheader. They got that one finished too already. Detroit 5, New York 2. Here's a final score. Excuse me. I think I'm drinking too many of these soft drinks. You think that's what causes it? Baltimore 11, Boston 3. You heard that game right here on this radio station this afternoon. We're carrying a lot of the afternoon or weekend Baltimore games now. 11, that's a pretty good score, huh? To 3, Boston. Cleveland 3, Milwaukee 1, Kansas City 5, Minnesota 3. In the first game of a doubleheader, it's Chicago 7, California 5. That took 12 innings. That's your overtime in baseball, in case you're not familiar with it. Second game, Chicago 5, California nothing. That's after 1.5 innings. Oakland at Texas postponed because of rain. Now, over in the National League, it's Cincinnati 10, San Diego nothing. That's a final score. That's what you call your shutout. Los Angeles 7, Houston 4. Philadelphia 2, St. Louis nothing. Pittsburgh 5, New York 3, Chicago 7, Montreal nothing. Let me see. First game of a doubleheader, San Francisco 5, Atlanta nothing. Second game, San Francisco 4, Atlanta 2. And we got a call. Hello, you're on the air.
Russ?
Yes.
I just wanted to tell you how much I've enjoyed that program tonight.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed
it. It was just great. Your father was just real enlightening.
Did you learn anything?
I did. I didn't know a thing about Alaska except it was cold.
Yeah, well, now you know. Now you know.
It was just delightful. But yeah, at first, when I tuned in late, mm-hmm. and I heard him taking these tours through the mountains in the
right.
in the plane,
That's
I thought, gosh, is this a mystery?
Yeah.
Then I listened more, and I said, oh, no, it was delightful.
It was all true, too.
That's what I know. It was just, and you lived there.
Yeah, 7 years.
How about that?
Yeah. And
would you trade it back for Virginia? That's a wrong question.
It really is.
That's ugly.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind going back if the opportunities and what I want to do were the same. I wouldn't mind going back at all. But,
well, it was just real enlightening. I thought of a lot of things I wanted to ask him. One of them was, the gold, he said, if you went out and worked real hard, you might get an ounce, you know?
Right, half
an
ounce.
How is it found?
Well, what you do, I did this one time. He took me out in the weeds with my, let's see, who was with us that
you
day?
You sound like you're way, way, way.
Okay, is that any better? Is that any better?
A little bit.
Okay, now what we did, we went out in this creek, and he just started shoveling this dirt into a gold pan, which is kind of like a it's just kind of like a frying pan.
Oh yeah,
it's solid on the bottom.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and you just start shoveling this stuff into this gold pan, and then you put it down in the water and start shaking it back and forth and getting all the dirt out. Now what happens is the gold is heavy, so that drops to the bottom.
Oh, really?
That drops to the bottom, and then you get all the dirt away, and finally you get it all cleared out, all the dirt and all the gold is in the bottom, and then you pick that out and start all over again. And maybe you get two or three little bitty flakes every time you do this, and it takes about a half hour.
Oh.
And it's kind of hard, but, you know, if you get a half an ounce nowadays, that's worth about $110.
You better believe it.
So that's
well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us something about you? Where did you grow up?
Right here in the adjoining county.
Yeah.
In Culpeper.
Right.
But I lived in Orange since 1939. Of course, this is my home now, really. And I've just, not very exciting, but just a housewife. And I've enjoyed Orange County, the people.
It's a friendly place.
Yeah.
Really?
It's nice. It's kind of country. I don't think I could stand city life.
Yeah.
Why
do you think that would be a bad deal?
City life?
Right.
Well, I think you lose so much closeness when you're in a big community. People are so congested. They don't have time for their neighbor.
That's right.
And I don't mean prying into personal affairs, but, you know, like if you got a problem, I'd like to share it with you.
Right.
And it's nice to know somebody is close enough to really care. That's what I like about a little small town.
Yeah. Do you like it when, now, a lot of people complain about having everybody butt into their affairs. Do you think it's butting or just concern?
Well, I think it's, well, depends on who's doing it.
Yeah.
No, really, I think there might be times when people are nosy, maybe.
Right, right.
But the majority of times, if, you know, if you have sadness or sickness or some other problem, they aren't budding. They're just concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just really concerned. Well, I really enjoyed your Sunday night programs.
Well, I'm glad
you
did.
Been delightful.
Well, do call again.
And tell your father that I thoroughly enjoyed.
Okie dokie, I'll do it.
Right up.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Right.
Now, that's a nice lady. I like people like that, right? Here it is, 10 o'clock. This is WJMA, AM and FM in Orange. I'm Russ Roberts, and our engineer and producer, David Taylor, is over there waving at you into his microphone. That's off. There you go. I got to turn that on, and Dave, and wave into it, okay? There you go. Oh, great. Good, good, good. He waved at you. You can wave back. You wave at your speaker there. One after 10 o'clock. Well, here's the weather. I don't know if I've given this recently, so I'm going to give it again. Supposed to be fair tonight, a low around 30 to the mid-30s, which would average out to about 32.5 degrees. Increasing cloudiness tomorrow, a high in the 60s, cloudy a chance of rain tomorrow night, and Tuesday, a low tomorrow night in the mid-30s to around 40, and a high Tuesday in the 60s. The chance of rain is near zero tonight and tomorrow, and then 30% tomorrow night. How about that now? Winds variable at less than 10 miles per hour. You can make the biggest deal out of the smallest thing if you work hard at it. Now, how about that? 30% chance of rain. Whew. Right now in Orange, it's 47 degrees Fahrenheit, 8.3 Celsius, and the relative humidity is about 48% now. We'll be back and talk to you at area code 703-672-1000 on the airline program right after this.
I think it was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed and I shakily held onto the willows. And we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, We'd want to scare the fish away. And then I remember that fish, the biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Scooby-dooby-doo. Ya-da-da-da-da. I am still trying to fulfill my need to become Bing Crosby. Ya-da-da-da. White Christmas. 672-1000, area code 703, if you'd like to talk to us on the airline program. I'm Russ Roberts, acting silly here. Bob Wade has just joined us in the studio. Bob hangs around here an awful lot. I guess because he works here is the main reason. Bob suggested we talk about soap operas until you give us a call. Now, I don't know what's so exciting about soap operas. I haven't seen one since I started working during the day, which is about 9 months ago now, Bob. They as good as they used to be back in the good old days.
Oh, they're getting spicier and better all the time, Russ.
Now, I don't like that, Bob. I don't like it when they get right down to the nitty-gritty in these soap operas. I think it's wrong to be on TV like that.
Well, but can you imagine, just seeing your everyday situation right on television?
Now, who wants to do that, Bob? Now, let's be serious here.
Obviously, 30 million Americans.
But they're not your everyday situation. I have yet to have a doctor, a lawyer, a psychiatrist, and a bunch of neurotic people hanging around me, seriously. And they never worry about money. Have you yet seen a soap opera where Maud comes in? Maud or Mildred, it could be anybody, Jane or Sally, comes walking in and tells her husband, who's a psychiatrist, or a doctor, or a lawyer, never any other occupation, you never see a brick mason on a soap opera. And here comes Mildred walking into this home, a lavish home, mind you. They're always good. They never live in a dive unless they're on the edge of night. They get into some dives on that program. But here she comes walking in.
George?
Yes, Mildred?
We're broke. Now, you've never heard that on any soap opera, have you?
Now that you mention it, no.
Right. Now, that's... And you never see them go out to McDonald's and get a hamburger.
It's always La Casa de la...
Right, they're always going out to this big, highfalutin restaurant and getting something to eat. Now, seriously, Bob, that's not your everyday way.
That's true. I was watching one the other day, and it did strike me kind of funny because it was a very, very, very rich household, and they had a companion, is what they're called. They're not called maids, they're called companions. And this companion has been sneaking around the... boss is back and
right. Doing
different little underhanded deals.
Right.
And you know that in most situations, if you get caught doing something like that, you end up getting canned. You get fired.
Very true. Very true. Soap operas are not real. I think they're escapism more than anything else. People say, oh, I wish I could be like that.
But do you realize...
For some reason, if you have a comment on soap operas or anything else, give us a call, 672-1000, area code 703. I would really like to get your observation on the American soap opera.
Do you realize, though, that more people watch them, though, than watch a whole lot of other things that are on the telly now? And only because, and they're even, the sponsors and the networks are starting to see this too, as they're starting to see the one-hour soap operas start to grow.
They are the, soap operas are the biggest money makers in the network TV. Oh, speaking of TV, now tomorrow, Chet Hagen is going to be Ross Hunter's guest on Monday at 1. And Chet Hagen is a radio commentator on our Eye on the Two program, but he's also a TV producer. Did you know that Chet Hagen did write last year the Country Music Awards show? He wrote that, and that was a good program. And he also produced Como Country, the
one where Olivia was on.
Right, Perry. I don't know if she was on that one, but he had a bunch of other big stars. Charlie Pride. I think Charlie Rich was on. Well, he's going to be right here tomorrow. Monday at 1 to
I'm
talk
sure
about.
They don't want you to storm the doors, though, or to see him or peek at him.
No, well, he's the best Monday at 1 I ever heard was one that he was on. That was about 2 years ago, I guess.
Russ, back to the subject of
soap operas. Now, there's one soap opera that I really miss. When I was working 7 to midnight, I was working 7 to midnight, and, of course, I didn't get to watch any TV. The only thing I got to watch was The Young and the Restless. Now, that was a good soap opera.
That was great. There was nothing good. But I was going to point out, do you know, I found this out by just doing a little studying on daytime serial, do you know that in a 30-minute soap opera, now the 60-minute soap opera, in 30-minute soap operas, they have three plots going at one time, which
right.
lasts, the first plot lasts about 8 weeks, and then the second plot starts to take over, and it lasts about 14 weeks, and then the third plot lasts somewhere between 20 weeks. Then, in these 60-minute soap operas, there's another one that's going to debut in 2 weeks. They take six plots going at one time.
60-minute soap operas.
Right.
I haven't ever seen
them. Another World on one of those rival networks.
Wow, can you imagine? 60 minutes.
Days of Our Lives are going to be.
60 minutes of misery. Hello, you're on the air.
Mr. Roberts.
Yes.
This is Dan Carpenter.
All right.
And I was really interested in what you had to say about soap box operas.
All right.
When I was back in Bible school, I'm a pastor now, had to work in a psychiatric ward for a while in a local hospital. And I worked the night shift, and one of the first things that I was instructed to do when I came in of the afternoon is to make sure that the patients could watch anything on TV except soap box operas.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Now, that confirms what I've been saying.
Adding insult to injury.
Yes, sir. Matter of fact, the people got so involved in that they almost lived their life by that very program.
Now, I saw a program that was a spoof on soap operas. It was, I think it was Love American Style. Remember that program?
Right.
Where the girl was, she fell in love with this guy. And she was so wrapped up in a soap opera, he came in one day and says, "Well, Charlie, we're going to have to go to a wedding." And she got all dressed up in the house, and he said, "We're having it here?" And he thought it was a good friend. And she turns on the TV, and they're having a wedding on this soap opera. And that just, I think that's, that shows how involved people get. They don't go to that extreme usually, but...
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you ever watch those things?
No, sir.
I the only one I ever watched was The Young and the Restless, because I thought it was really good, because they had good acting and they're pretty girls, too.
Right. Well, I used to be involved in some acting, and when you say there's only a few that there's any good acting, I can agree on that as well, because they it's just such a come on and such a real lack of talent that is there as well.
Right. I can agree with that. Well, why didn't they let him look at the soap operas in the psychiatric ward?
Well, basically, it was a... we were doing therapy, and anything that would cause them to be... the patients to be very upset, we were not to be involved in.
Sure, I can understand.
As a matter
that.
Of fact, my job, sort of a funny thing... matter of fact, I think every pastor ought to every minister trainee ought to be involved in
right.
a couple months of that. I really do. That training has been more valuable than some of my classroom experience. Anyway, so being in therapy, they didn't want anything that would be upsetting to the patients, and my job really was to be an entertainment boy.
Yeah.
To sit down and play checkers, sit down and talk to the individuals, to be a friend. And as a matter of fact, it's quite funny, but it proved its point. When I was ready to leave, the patients came up to me and said, "Oh, don't leave. We just feel that you've been such a part of us."
Yeah.
You know, that type
right,
of thing.
Right.
We, but it taught me quite a bit. But when you said something about soap box operas, and I listened to you for a little bit. I totally agree. I just don't recommend any of my people to be involved in that thing unless their interest is in acting and not in the actual
story.
Story, right? Because
good
it's
for
only
you.
It's
good
not
for
even
you.
A story. It's not even the real life.
That's very true. Good for you. I can see by your comments you're a classy guy. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Yes, sir.
So long.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, Bob, what do you think of that?
Well, Russ, I was just going
to
say...
Now, Bob goes home. Bob doesn't even come to work during the week. You know what he does?
Bob sits at home with the tube on, watching the soap operas. Now, he watches Another World, As the Stomach Turns.
The Old and the Toothless, yeah.
All of those.
No, but Russ, I'm going to tell you something. The Young and the Restless is the only one that I actually sit down and say watch for watching sake. The others I like to sit and laugh at because I love to see everyone getting involved with everyone else. And
I'm sure you laugh. He sits there. Let's see your fingernails. No fingernails, just what I thought, all right? He sits at home and watches those.
I'm not as bad as some people that I know who really sit there and if one of the characters does a bad thing, sits and, you know, curses at the television, you know, or yells at the television and says, I wish something would happen to you, that kind of thing.
No, it
never gets to be to that point. But I do know a couple of people who do that.
Okie dokie. Well, here we go with the weather. It's 14 after 10 o'clock, supposed to be fair, a low around 30 to the mid-30s for Skyline Drive, Orange, and Culpeper, Warrenton, too. Increasing cloudiness tomorrow, a high in the 60s. Right now at WJMA in Orange, it's 47 degrees Fahrenheit, 8.3 Celsius, and the relative humidity. Little organ music here. Doo-doo! Soap opera effect, 46%. We'll be back and take some more calls after this.
I think one of the greatest programs that the American Cancer Society sponsors is the Reach to Recovery effort.
Marvella Bai talks about her experience with cancer.
This wonderful woman from Reach to Recovery came to visit me on about the fifth day. If she hadn't said anything, but just that she had had breast surgery 7 or 8 years earlier, she would have been a great lift to me, because she walked in my room full of energy and happy and full of life. Just looking at her gives you such a fantastic lift, because you think, if this woman can have had this surgery and look this terrific, then so can I.
Reach to Recovery volunteers need your support. This is Hal Holbrook asking you to give generously when your American Cancer Society volunteer calls on you. We want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime.
Doo-doo.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
Oh, John.
Marcia, Marcia. Doo-doo. Tune in tomorrow for the answers to these questions. All right. It's 10:15 now on WJMA. Russ Roberts here on the airline program with Bob Wade, and we're just messing around talking about soapies.
You know, Russ, I'm sure that you can find, for every person who calls up and says that soap operas are bad, you will find three or four ladies who watch them in the afternoon and who will say, oh, but they're so good. And actually, the acting quality in a lot of the soap operas is sort of repetitious.
I would like for somebody to call that would defend a soap opera. Now, I'm not going to put anybody down for watching them, because I can understand why you would get wrapped up in a story like that. Maybe. I don't know. But if you watch a... Listen, don't be shy. Go ahead and call us. You don't have to tell us who you are on the air here. Give us a call and tell us why you watch soap operas. I mean, you know, seriously, a lot of people watch them. If a lot of people didn't watch them, they wouldn't be on TV, because the ratings are what keep you on the air with those kind of things. I don't know about that, though.
The Young and the Restless has won another award also this
did
year.
It?
For
that Chris Brooks is a pretty gal. She's on that soap opera, and she's a pretty girl. You know,
she's
how Chris
getting
Brooks,
sort of paranoid, too.
Did you know? Well, she's been through all these hassles. I mean, her doctor husband and lawyer friend have, you know, been in trouble here. But Chris Brooks, who is a main character on The Young and the Restless, started out as an airline stewardess. Did you know this? She started out as an airline stewardess, and what happened was her airline, Trans Lake Airlines or something, started out looking for a stewardess to be on a TV commercial. And they looked and they searched, and finally, in the back seat of an old DC-3, there sat Chris Brooks. Of course, that's not her name. I don't know what her name is, but she, they said, my, you're a pretty girl. Would you like to do a spot on TV? And she said, she couldn't talk too good at this point. She said, well, I reckon so. I don't know. You know, she's kind of a southern gal. I reckon so. I'll do it. And they took her down to the TV place and put her on tape and made a TV commercial out of it, and she became a star. They started to talk good, too, and I think that's right good, you know. What do you think, Bob?
It don't hurt none to talk so good.
This is really a stupid conversation. Give us a call, 672-1000, area code 703. Have you ever heard anything like this on the radio before? I don't know. This is a program to behold. It's 18 after 10 o'clock here on the airline, 672-1000, area code 703. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. If you're listening beyond our local dialing area, we'd be glad to take a collect call tonight. Just call up, talk to David, get the operator to say, David, would you please take a collect call? And he'll say, sure thing, ma'am. And we'll put you right on. That's a little treat for you. First collect call, we'll accept. Right here, 672-1000, area code 703. Talk about anything. Anything.
We have.
I mean, when you get down to talking about soap operas, right after you talk about adventurous flying in Alaska, whew, that's what you call running the gamut, let me tell you.
One day maybe we'll talk about cartoons.
Not on my program.
This is a family show.
When I was in high school, I used to watch Huckleberry Hound, I think. I like that. Can you sing the jingle to the Yogi Bear song? To the Yogi Bear show? All right, let me think now. A minute of meditation. All right, here we go now. I'm trying to think how the Yogi Bear song went. It was something about, he'll sleep till noon, but before it's dark, he'll have every picnic basket that's in Jellystone Park. Yogi has it better than a millionaire. That's because he's smarter than the average bear. Okay. That's good. That's it. Yep. And,
we get three encores?
Nope. That's the jingle to Yogi Bear's song. All right. How about, Magilla Gorilla, huh? Can you sing that one? Magilla
we
Gorilla.
We got a gorilla for sale.
How
Magilla
much is that gorilla?
Gorilla for sale.
Right. Bob can do
Won't
it.
Won't you? Try him. Take him home and buy him or something like Gorilla for sale. Yeah, I remember that one, too.
All right. Now we've got, I only watch the class programs. Did they have a song for Pixie Dixie and what was it? Pixie and Dixie, the two mice and the cat? No, that was on Huckleberry Hound show, right? I guess. I used to watch all of those things back in school. I loved them. Did anybody ever see? Now this is a big story here. I'm going to go back and relate this one and give you a big long speech on this. I got to get myself set here because this is a good one. You ever watch the old puppet program on TV called Fireball XL5? Did you, Bob?
Yeah.
All right, now, let me describe basically the plot of this show. They had puppets, and they'd put them on tape. I mean, they taped the actual puppets. They would, you know, have the backdrops and everything. And the basic premise for this whole story was space voyages. And they had a pencil-shaped spacecraft called Fireball XL5. And the front part of the spacecraft used to separate, kind of like a command module. They called that Fireball Junior. Remember? Fireball Junior would separate and land on the surface of whatever planet they were exploring on this particular episode. Now, the two characters that flew this job, actually there were four people on board. There was Steve Zodiac, Venus, was a really attractive blonde from Norway with strings to keep her moving. Then there was the robot, Robbie the Robot. Then there was the guy that sat in a little spinning chair in the back of this dude. Now, what was he called? I don't remember either. But he was the engineer of this whole show. And then they had a guy back on Earth that was the major, and he was always giving them a hard time because Steve Zodiac was a real fly-by-night character. Anyway, I'm sitting there one day. My sister is with me. We've got our little tiny baby sister with us. It's 5:15 p.m. We're sitting here watching an episode called Robot Bird. This is 1964, mind you, and I'm not too old. 40. We're sitting back here in our house watching Robot Bird in Fairbanks, Alaska. Fireball XL5, and I remember the noise even. There's a robot bird. These guys had built it that was going to take over the Earth, and this thing would go boot, 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 boot.
About six of those, and you could make a chorus.
And he'd fly along. And he was his wings were creaking too. You could hear that going as he would fly along. And right in the middle of his all of a sudden, the house started to shake. Started to go, and the walls started to shudder and cave in, and the roof started coming down. I said, "Man, this is some kind of a good program. This thing works." And this went on for 5 minutes. We were in the middle of an earthquake. Right across from our house was a park. And the park would go up about 10 feet and drop down, and the house would go up 10 feet and drop down. And I tell you, I was scared. And my parents weren't there. And my goodness, and this was the big Good Friday earthquake. Remember that in Alaska? And it flattened Anchorage. Let me tell you, they had a rough time. But up where we were, man, the house was going right in the middle of this bird going boot, boot. And the TV station stayed on the air. And Robot Bird went all the way through that earthquake. And right after it was over, boy, went right back and watched the rest of the episode because it was good. But that's the way I
really get involved in those programs.
That was a good program because it was really effective. I mean, they caused an earthquake with that show. And right after this program came on, this was right before I Dream a Genie came to Alaska. They had this little old lady that used to come on the air. Her name was Eva. Eva used to come on and tell you all of the gossip in Fairbanks, Alaska. She was, I guess she was about 75 or 80 years old, and she would come on with her. Every week she had a new hat, and it was always the hat of the week. It was very stylish, either a French one or a Norwegian hat, and she was a little Norwegian girl herself, blonde, you know. I think she dyed her hair because she was naturally gray. And Eva would come on and say, "Good evening." And she'd give you all of the gossip that was going on around town for 15 minutes. And it was really, it used to make me sick because I was, you know, I wasn't too old at that point. And when I Dream a Genie came on, they canceled Eva, and I was so happy because I used to watch Genie come out of a bottle, and it was really good. Well, listen, we didn't hear from you tonight. So next week, same time, same station, we'll be back talking about some really interesting subjects, just like tonight. The Alaska talk was good, but this TV talk, it leaves something to be desired. But Fireball XL5 was the program. Did you hear about Star Trek now, while we're on the subject of space movies? They canceled Star Trek, right?
Good.
Years ago, and they got 1 million letters of protest. Now, what they have done, Gene Roddenberry, who is the producer, creator, and director of the Star Trek series, has agreed to put together a 2.5-hour feature-length film of Star Trek, just for us Star Trek fans.
Well, Russ, do you know that they've already put together a little cartoon package on Saturday morning.
But that's not the same as the original
Star
Trek.
It's the same cast.
Did you know, I read a book about Star Trek. It was called The Making of Star Trek. I had a whole night to go through it. It was a 400-page book, and I read the whole thing. Did you know that on the Enterprise, the starship, they actually had noises of waterfalls and other natural noises like cows mooing? And you can't hear it on the TV program, but it's there. They went into detail like that on this program just in case somebody would ask a question like that. And the reason they had these natural sounds was to keep the people in space from going berserk. But that's the way it is. Star Trek, feature-length movie. Here's the news. Street clashes between Palestinian guerrillas and Lebanese rightists in Beirut have left about 25 persons dead. The right-wing party says two of its Beirut headquarters were blown up as the fighting spread from a clash at the inauguration of a new church in a Beirut suburb to the downtown area. Police have refused comment on the fighting. Officers were absent from at least one major clash where the youths with submachine guns halted cars only 100 yards from a police station. The Los Angeles Times says the president of the University of Southern California is trying to obtain the personal papers of Richard Nixon. The Times reports USC President John Hubbard
has conducted preliminary talks with the former president at his San Clemente estate. USC is said to be interested in the papers for their value to scholars, not for the general public. And the Times says Washington sources report Nixon's attorneys have dropped some of their objections to giving the Nixon tapes to the Watergate Special Prosecutor's Office. About 30 black University of Alabama students were refused entry today to a white Baptist church revival in Tuscaloosa. The students were members of a university class on the black religious experience. They were escorted by police off the church property. Doctors aboard a baby lift flight in Los Angeles Medical County officials clashed today over the confusion that delayed treatment of 32 ailing war orphans. The infants arrived in Los Angeles yesterday. Some were suffering from malnutrition, dehydration, pneumonia, and various other afflictions. A three-month-old baby died during the flight of the World Airways 747. Vice President Rockefeller is on his way to Taiwan to attend Wednesday's funeral services for the late nationalist Chinese president, Chiang Kai-shek. Agriculture Secretary Earl Butz was originally picked to represent the U.S. at the funeral, but the nationalist government objected. Five-county weather, fair tonight, a low around 30 to the mid-30s, increasing cloudiness tomorrow, a high in the 60s, cloudy, a chance of rain tomorrow night, and Tuesday, a low tomorrow in the mid-30s to around 40. Today's high was 58 degrees. Right now in Orange, it's 47 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 8.3 degrees Celsius. Relative humidity is 46%. We'll be back next week with the airline program, 8 o'clock. Join us. And I'll see you tomorrow around 12 o'clock. That's 11 Central Time. Here's Tony Orlando and Dawn.
He don't love you. We'll be right back.
This is Clemmer Matheny, pastor of the Gordonsville and Barbersville United Methodist Churches. Success in our lives as Christians does not come from periodic bursts of spiritual speed, but rather from running with patience the race that is set before us. By relying on the Lord day after day, we will surely have the sustaining strength needed for victorious lives over the problems of life. A young athlete who had just set the indoor world record on one occasion says, "I was not able to do anything until the Lord gave me the stamina." Many Christians put on certain sudden bursts of enthusiasm for the Lord as a result of some religious experience, to find that because after a while they have become weary, they find themselves on the sidelines. Do you lack perseverance in your Christian life? Why not ask the Lord for stamina rather than speed?
WJMA and WJMA-FM have come to the end of another broadcasting day. Our studios and offices are located on Spicer's Mill Road in Orange, Virginia. Keep your dial set at 1340 AM or 96.7 FM for another day of fine music, news, sports, and entertainment, starting at 6 o'clock in the morning. WJMA wishes you all a very pleasant good evening. And now, our national anthem.